Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for December 3rd, 2023. Elizabeth Abbott is a cash flow tiger, and you have a great question. You are doing what I refer to as a cash grab, which are perfectly fine. Cash grabs are tools. I have used them many times. It's sort of like, okay, things on sale, discount. Hey, who wants to book in advance for 2024, which is what you're doing, like pay now. Use it anytime you want in 2024. And you want my feedback on the idea and the not yet published website page. And you've expanded the dialect coaching info on your website to include three new pages: the sales announcement page, the class descriptions, and the purchase page. Do, do, do. Okay. I have thoughts. I have looked at it. I'm going to share the screen. Oh, I guess I can share my screen. Not what's happening here. I don't know. Let's see. Oh, yeah.
There
Okay.
should be a green. You got it.
So everybody can see. So for those listening, we're landing on a page of Elizabeth's website that one week holiday sale, December 4th through the 10th, save 25% on 2024 classes, class vouchers, and private coaching packages. Elizabeth Abbott, by the way, is a dialect coach of the highest order. And what I'm looking at here are three columns, and each one is sort of like, these are classes for actors for the January and February classes. And these are vouchers for cl other classes and then private coaching sessions. And she's letting us know, like, here's how it works. Here's what it is. Normally it's this price. Now it's only this price through this date. Purchase options, pay in full, pay in two installments, pay in three installments. And then you actually have like pay this much today, this much on January 15th. Like, so you're giving us breakdown of prices, breakdown of dates. And then there's sections where it's like, here are these kinds of classes, and here are these classes, and here's what we can work on in private coaching sessions. And then buy buttons or scheduling buttons. And then a little thing at the bottom that says, hey, the purchases are valid. The sale ends. Purchases are valid through December 31st,
Of next year.
2024. So next year. So you might want to say valid all of next year
Okay.
through, because my brain immediately went to December 31st of this year
Yeah.
and then it got confused.
Well, I got confused when I
And
was
then you
writing
have like
that
all
because
the
I wrote it wrong. And then when I read it, I was like, oh, I put the wrong year there. So, yeah.
So then there's a little bit at the bottom of like, if you need to, of like housekeeping, if you need to cancel, this is what will happen, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So, couple things here. First of all, with it is a wall of words on this web page. So not only are you making me read, you're also making me do math. That's really hard. And you're giving me multiple choices of multiple choices on one site. Because, first of all, I have to read it to understand there's three things. Which one do I want? Do I want just one? Do I want two? Then I have to be like, okay, how much am I paying? How much am I saving? But not only that, then I have to decide, oh, now there's three different kinds of purchase options. So I'm like full of words, full of math, and full of decision making. And most people will just get very tired
Yeah.
and be like, okay,
And
that's
I
the
get
first.
that. I feel like I was trying to get all the information out, and now it's out, and I'm like, how do I
No,
make this
Elizabeth,
better?
this is perfect. And this is important for everybody to hear. When you are working on websites, working on marketing, writing and constructing packages. None of that time is wasted. Going through iterations helps you become clear on what you're trying to do. It helps you get clear on what you're trying to say. And sometimes we have to kind of go all the way around to come back to more clarity. But it's not time wasted. It's just the time that this kind of stuff takes. And so what's great about this is creating this page as it stands right now enabled you, forced you to go, okay, what are all the persnickety details for how I want to arrange this? And you have them all out. You figured the mechanics of these offers out, which is great, has to be done. So now our job is to, how do we hide as much of the mechanics as possible and present a very clear, understandable, enticing offer and lead people through from like, oh, here's the thing, and here's what I do, and here we go. Choice by choice by choice, but very clear and moving all of the other distractions away. So that's what we are going to figure out. So that's the first thing. The second thing that struck me, this is more of a personal preference, but whenever possible, I prefer to not use the word sale. Because you're too amazing to go on sale, discount, sale. It's like, there could be a way to present this where it feels a little more special because you're special. You're a master teacher.
Okay.
You need to make some sales? Sure. But you don't have to go on sale.
So what's the alternative on that you would say?
Yeah. So what I'm thinking, and this is the notes I wrote down, and then I have to walk through it with you to make sure. Well, we're going to go through all the steps, this page to the next page to the third page. But what it sounds to me, now you're sending this to former students or people, just anybody on your list or who's getting
People that are former students, anyone who's come to my website and said, I'm interested in classes and signed up for my email list.
Okay.
And I have some funnel people I'll probably send it to as well.
Great. So what you're doing is you're sending in-house all the people that you've already collected. It's not like this is going out to the general public, right? That's what I thought. So what if you said something like this? In celebration of the holidays and to celebrate the end of the strike, even though voiceovers weren't on strike, but just, you know, I am gifting you two golden tickets.
Oh.
One is worth $75 that you can put towards any of my classes in 2024. And one is worth, or no, take out the any of my, just take out the year. One is worth $75 to put towards any of my classes. And one is worth $175 to put towards a set of four private sessions.
Okay.
You can use either golden ticket. You can use both. You can spend these golden tickets now through midnight on December 10th. I would say that first. And then I'd say, you can spend one of these tickets or you can spend both. You can spend one of these tickets or you can spend both to book in advance for classes or sessions in 2024. So now, in just a few sentences, we've walked them through what's happening. I'm giving you a gift. For clarity's sake, I'm calling it a golden ticket. And you get two of them. One for $75 off any of my classes, another one for $175 off of a set of four private sessions. You can spend these golden tickets now through midnight on December 10th. You can spend one of them, or you can spend both of them. To book in advance classes and/or private sessions in 2024. Okay, so now the person has one decision. Do I want to sort of check out these golden tickets, or do I not care and I'm not going to spend them? Okay. So I would actually present that information to them in
Okay.
email.
In the email. Okay.
In an email, and there's one link in the email, and the link says, click here to spend your golden tickets.
Okay.
So then they land on the sales page, for lack of a better word. And I like how your URL says Elizabeth Abbott info, and you might make it say holiday specials. If you, but specials is fine as well. So now they land on a page that says, congratulations. Here's how to use one or both of your golden tickets. Here's what does not need to be on this page. You don't need to say, classes were $300, but now they're only this much because they have a voucher, they have a golden ticket. So you can say $300 with your golden ticket makes it 225. Like you can say something like that, but the purchase options don't need to be there, don't need to be here,
Okay.
because the only thing we want them to have to think about on this page is, do I want to use the class tickets? Do I want to use the private session tickets? Do I want to use both? That's it.
I do have one question about that because I worked with a girl who ended up buying four private sessions from me because we were working together on one role. And I just didn't know if I say two golden tickets, does it sound like you only get this discount on one? Or should I say you can use, I'm just, if I say I have two golden tickets, that sounds like you can do it once with the classes and once with the packages. Is that what I should offer? Or I was trying to say, if you want to buy more than one, then you can buy more. I mean, you can buy more than one class at the discounted rate or buy more than one package. But I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I see.
Or maybe, I don't know. Maybe one is
So,
enough. But I just thought if somebody wants to buy more than one, I wouldn't have a problem with that. Give me money
okay.
now.
I see what you're saying. What you're saying is this $75 golden ticket, you can use it on as many classes as you want.
Which is why I was thinking of putting the other the 225 rather than a $75 off coupon. I don't know. I'm still thinking through it.
Well, the doing it the coupon that golden ticket way makes them feel like you're giving them money versus
Oh,
putting
okay.
something on sale.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's just a different, slightly different, but I understand that you're like, yeah, you can buy like four of these classes and get $75 off each class. If you're going to do that, which I think you can, I have a feeling that then you should do just the classes in December with the golden tickets and sell the private coaching in January. It's too confusing.
Oh, okay.
This is a, it's just a lot of decision making. So,
Is.
what do you think is going to sell more? Do you think you're going to get more class registrations, or do you think you're going to get more private coaching registrations? What would be your guess?
I honestly don't know because I've taught classes that have gone really well, but then COVID happened and I didn't get anybody signing up for my classes. I prefer to teach in person, and one of the reasons I've struggled with this so much is that I sat through a webinar a few weeks ago with a guy about acting, and I just went, I after 90 minutes, I'm done. My brain is fried. I'm not going to focus anymore. And so I can teach an in-person class once a week that's 3 hours, but I really struggle with 3 hours. But then I had a friend who is also an actor, and she's like, Liz, people don't want to sign up for a 6 week class. And I thought, I don't. So I don't know. I feel like the class thing right now, I'm still experimenting with it, I guess. So I do think that golden ticket idea would work well with the private coaching people that I've already had. But I don't know about people that are just on my mailing list. I think they want classes, but
Well,
I don't know. How's that for an answer? I don't know what I'm doing.
okay, because all of these classes that are on this page would be online, right?
And right now, I've figured out what I want to teach for January and February, but I haven't figured it out for the rest of 2024. So that's why I was doing sign up now for these classes or the vouchers. And honestly, on this page, the January and February classes that I have listed are just placeholders. Those were dates I'm looking at, but I'm trying to figure out what times to do that work for people in different time zones. It's just a lot of figuring out and math on my end too.
Yeah. The thing about time zones is I think you have to go what works best for you
Okay.
and then just make sure it's not like horrible for somebody else. It's really hard to please everybody. And I disagree with the person who's like, nobody wants to buy a 4 week class. Yeah, some people want to buy a 4 week class.
Well, that's
She
what
doesn't want to buy. She doesn't want to.
she said most people would rather do a 4 week class than a 6 week class because
Oh,
six week. And so that's what she was telling me because I was thinking of doing classes that were 2 hours each time for 6 weeks. And she's like, no, people will, they'd rather have a 4 week class. So they're not, because you don't know when
They'd rather
people
have a 4 week
book
class
things.
and, right. So you were thinking they would have to be 3 hour sessions if you did 4 weeks? Why couldn't they be less?
Maybe they could, but I, because that's what I've done for in-person classes. So, but there's one class that I taught before that I've thought about breaking in half and doing just one of the things, not both of them. So, yeah, I
I think
don't
we
know.
have to teach a little differently online. I don't think in person translates exactly. Okay. So if you want to have classes in January and February, though, you would need to enroll them now, right? So maybe this is more of an early bird special than It's just like, I'm having these classes. If you register this week, you get the early bird price, and then it stays at the regular price.
Should I do that instead in January and just bump all these classes to February and have that be something I do later? And now I can do private sessions only?
Yeah, you can do
Okay,
that.
cool.
Then sell in January the classes for a February start date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think I should do?
I have a feeling that you'll have better luck getting cash money for people who will buy privates.
Yeah.
It's more money, but it's a clearer decision for people. So I
Yeah.
would start, it's sort of like you're offering this golden ticket for the privates. And anybody who doesn't do privates, try to get them into a class in
Okay.
January.
Yeah. So should I just skip the voucher idea for classes?
Yeah, so take all the class stuff is
The
going
class stuff
off the table.
away. Okay.
So for the classes, then I would just do early bird registration,
In
regular
January.
registration. Yeah,
Okay.
because that's not seen as a discount or a sale. That's just early bird registration. It's
Okay.
seen in a different light. It's all the same, but it just feels different to people. And we want to keep you high class.
Yeah.
So you're going to send them an email now. Golden ticket, $175 off a package of four private sessions. That you can book. Do you want it anytime in 2024, or do you want it in the first quarter that they book of
I
2024?
don't care when they book. I
Okay.
just have had people who take one lesson and then they don't want to do the next one for 6 months and they've forgotten what we talked about. So that's why I put at the bottom of the page, I put sessions 2, 3, and 4 need to be within 90 days of the first session. You can't.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Is you get to, people are hiring you as their leader. So you get to lead them and say, this is how my students learn best. So this is how I'm taking a class from somebody now, and she's like, this is how we're doing it. And I'm like, okie dokie. I'm assuming you know best. And I do that with my clients. This is how we're going to start. So yeah. So now on this page, it's just,
Just one golden ticket.
yeah,
Okay.
redeem your golden ticket for private sessions, package of four, private one-on-one Zoom coaching tailored to your individual needs. You can take out master your skill set, no
Okay.
exclamation point. It's just, this is amazing. Here it is.
Okay.
And then put regular price, $700 for four, with your golden ticket, $525.
And I actually do have a package price. It 175 is the one is for one class. I usually have it. It's 650, so it's $50 off if you do a package of four, but I'm doing this as
You're giving them.
more off. It's another 120, 125 off from that. So from the regular 50.
No one will know.
Yeah.
No one's doing the math and remembering what the prices are. So you can give them a golden ticket for $70. If you don't want to make it $175, you can make it for less, $120 off. Oh, okay.
Okay. And should I do the installment stuff? Does that?
Yeah, since if this is the only information page, yeah, that you can put. You can have exactly what's on this page.
Okay.
Take the other two columns off because that's not too much information.
Yeah.
But the thing, or I should say, and the other thing that has to come before the information of all the details, because nobody cares the details of like, you get this much off and here's your payment plan and blah, 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 blah. No one cares about that until you have engaged them with the sizzle of why.
Which is what I was going to send in the email. So I do have something that says, where is that? Basically, when you receive an audition and it asks for an accent, what do you do? Panic while looking for on YouTube, try and remember the weird phonetic symbols you learned in a class a long time ago. Realize your agent sent you four auditions for this accent in the last 3 months. And then like I just have like six different questions like that. And then it's like, well, if so, here's the answer to this. It's join me for a class or for a coaching session.
That's great. That's great. The conclusion of that is like, don't go through this scramble ever again. Don't waste your energy going through this scramble ever again. Don't walk into a room or start taping an audition concerned about how you sound rather than inhabiting the character they want you to be. Let's work together to nail this down once and for all. Click here. Now, I'm glad you're doing all of that in the email. I would put the exact same text on the website. We have to assume people never read anything we send them
Okay.
these days. So reiterate all of that sales copy on the page, then put all the details and the fine print and then the buy button. So you, instead of now, let's see. So when I press the buy button, then I go to this. Now, this form that you have them fill out, what happens when I submit the form?
It goes to me and tells me that they have submitted the form. I have a spot on there that says, once you submit the form, I'll send you an invoice. Because I don't have my site set up right now to take money. And I'm going to revamp the whole site, but I'm using an older version of Squarespace right
That's
now.
okay. And
So yeah, they're
so,
going to get an
how do you
invoice.
normally,
Sorry, what I cut out for
how do you normally accept payment?
I
Oh,
send
it's
a
okay. How do you normally?
QuickBooks invoice and then they can pay by debit or credit card, Apple Pay, bank transfer. So they just get an invoice and it says how much it is and it says click here to pay and then they pay and put in their card information. I could also offer for them to send me a Venmo payment if they want me to do that, if they want to do that. So, but I usually have people. I send them an invoice for whatever they're,
And that's okay. And the links in the invoice, the options are Venmo, Apple Pay, and Zelle bank transfer. Is that correct?
the options are debit or credit card. It just says bank transfer, which I don't think is Zelle, and then Apple Pay. So it'll take any of those, but usually when I send out the invoice, I say if you'd rather pay via Venmo, send this much money to, and I put my Venmo handle.
And how many people do the Venmo thing
It's about half
most?
and half. Actually, lately it's probably more like 2 to 1 for the invoice rather than Venmo.
Mm-hmm. Is there a way through Quicken to have something embedded on a website where it's just like click the button, like
I can look and see. I just know that my version of Squarespace
oh, doesn't.
isn't doing that right now. And it said I could upgrade and have a different kind of site, but then I don't have the features that I'll have when I do the complete overhaul because it would keep me in the same version.
Yeah. So I'm just, you can totally have them. So if you use this form, you need to put at the top of the page.
Okay. Yeah, because it's in the small letters under that purchase options section. So that, you're right. It probably
It
does need
needs
to
to be like,
say.
here's what's going to happen.
Okay.
Step one, fill out the form. Step two, I will send you the invoice. Step three, you will choose a form of payment. Step four, once I get your payment, we will schedule your sessions. You
Okay.
schedule your first session. So you have to walk
Need.
me through everything and tell me like what, because people are doing four things. They're watching a Hulu show while they're filling out this form, like just,
Okay.
yeah, you just gotta assume that people need it in big bold letters. So the same size of letters that you have saved 25% on classes, well, use that font and do the four steps
Okay.
so they know what they're doing. And then here's the thing though. What's the minimum? You kind of know ish these people. They're on your list. They know of you. They know you exist. So I want you to have the minimum amount of information you need on this form in
Okay.
order to
And it'll
generate.
be a lot less because
Yeah, it's just
I
going to
won't be,
be.
I have all this class information and stuff.
Yeah. So this is going to be a very short form. Name, email, thing, location. You don't even have to ask them, like, what are you trying to improve? You just, yeah.
Okay.
So this is going to be very short. I would put all the fine print at the bottom. Just same font size, that's fine. You can just move it up to the top though. So
Okay.
step one, step two, step three, step four. By the way,
Okay.
all the details, please note. Yeah. Submit, and then you'll, as soon as you can, send the invoice. So glad we're going to work together. This is going to be great. As soon as you pay, I'll contact you to, and we'll talk about like what you want to work on and what scheduling date or whatever.
Okay. At the top where I have holiday sale purchase info, should I put golden ticket redemption or I don't know. What should I put there?
Yeah, that.
Okay.
That instead of that. Yeah. Glad you're using your golden ticket. Then you can use the exclamation point.
This actually really helps me because I've been so overwhelmed trying to get everything figured out. And this just, I don't have to worry about some stuff right now.
Yeah, for sure. And so you're gonna, and you can start this December 5th or December 6th. It doesn't matter. I would send them an email on this. Let's say you're starting on the 6th and you're ending on the 10th. They get an email on the 6th, get an email on the 8th. They get an email on the 9th. They get an email on the 10th. No, they get an email on the 6th, an email on the 8th. Two emails on the 10th, one in the morning and one at like 9 o'clock, where it's like, you've got 3 hours left.
Okay.
Because people buy at the last minute.
Yeah, they do.
And one email isn't going to cut it. Now, every single email needs to have a new bit of sizzle. It can be, so the email on the 6th is the one you've already said. The email on the 8th is like client story. You know, here's why private coaching, or like Daniel, maybe it opens with a quote from one of your students. Oh my God, working with Liz like changed my life. That's a quote from blah, blah, blah. And we work together, or you don't even have to have the story about the student match the quote from a student. It could be a quote from another student. And then you tell a story about like, oh my gosh, this is what was happening with this actor, but then we worked together and this is the problem that was solved. And now they felt like this. I want you to feel this way in 2024. I want you to bring your vocal technique up to the level of your craft, because that's an important point for your students. They all think they're hot shit actors, and they might be really great actors, but being a great actor doesn't mean you can do an accent.
No.
As Timothy Chalamet showed us on Saturday Night Live. It's like, yep, can't do it. Not everybody can do every accent either. Mm-hmm. So maybe the email you sent on the 10th is, but I think that on the 8th, that's a great important point. You may be an amazing actor. That does not necessarily translate into you being able to do accents in an amazing way. And here's the problem. If a character requires an accent and you can't nail it, nobody cares how well you can act. They're never going to see how well you can act. They're never going to get past the wobbliness of your accent. So maybe on December 10th, the email you send in the morning is, the Australians and Brits are taking your jobs. Mm. Because they work so hard before you ever even know they exist on nailing an American accent.
And I do have those people on my list that want to learn. Simply.
What?
Oh, I have people on my list that want to learn an American accent too.
Yeah. So. Well, the competition is there. And I think you need to kind of throw it in their faces in a kind way. But it's like, guys, if you don't get good at this, there are actors coming over taking these jobs.
Yeah.
And it's like, it could be, why do so many British and Australian actors make it in America? Make it so big in America? It's because they put in the time to learn the accent they needed to learn. So what is the accent you need to learn? It could be American or it could be British. If you look a certain way, you maybe really need to nail a Southern accent or a South American accent. What is the accent you need to learn? Because I guarantee you there's somebody out there working very hard to learn it right now. So I want to get started with you in 2024 so you can compete for those roles too. And then the second email you send on the 10th is, guys, I'm sending this last one in case you missed it. Now is your chance. Before the deadline, let's work together. Yeah.
I did find a little widget that has a clock countdown till the end of the time. Maybe I'll put that on there too.
Can't hurt. A little fire under the butt. Okay. So you're going to do that. And then in January, you're going to do an early bird thing and see if you can squeeze some money out of these folks.
This is so great. Thank you. I just feel like I was trying to plan the classes and sell the classes and sell the private. It just felt like I'm trying to do everything and I have family stuff and other holiday stuff. Just like, this is too much at once. So thank you. It helped me. clear through some of that fog.
And if you find not enough people took you up on the offer at the end of the year, you can put out, like, have a little 2-day email thing where you're like, I got a few emails from folks who did not see that I offered them a golden ticket. So I'm opening it for 2 more days if you want to sneak in, like, just make it a little playful, sneak in under the deadline, boop a doop a doo. Yeah. But put all that lovely sizzle, or you can put the sizzle from all three of those emails on the sales page. You know, block it off so it's like easy to read that, read the next thing, read the next thing, like make it very clear and easy to read. But you really want to make them look at it from a different perspective of why this needs is so valuable and can help them so much.
Okay, thank you. This is very
Yeah.
helpful.
And then what you might do, just because some of the people on your list don't know you so well, you can put a little thing at the bottom, right under the button, that just has your picture. Hi, I'm Liz. Here's, if you work with me, you're in good hands. And then just do a tiny little bio of all your fabulous, like, I'm amazing and I studied here and I know how to do this and I've been doing this for years and blah, blah, blah. Real small, doesn't have to be much. Yeah.
And so this page, should it be something that's just accessible to people I email and not something that shows up on my site as a.
Yeah. No one's really going to find, I mean, it doesn't matter because it's not like you have all this audience coming
No,
to your site and just
no.
stumbling on it. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. All right.
Thank
That's all.
you.
You're so welcome. So welcome. Okay. Now I'm going to, what do I do? Resume. No. Okay. Stop share. I got it. Kate's like, I'm not a host. I can't do anything but look at you sweat. Okay. Who's next? That was the question I got from Elizabeth. So we have some time. Anybody else raise your hand? There's the little, I moved the raise hand symbol. So now it's just right out in the open there on the bottom of the screen. What's going on, guys? Any thoughts on what we just talked about? Like, and did anybody get any ha-has or light bulb moments from what we just talked about with Liz?
I was really struck by the level of clarity that Liz brought to the conversation. It's like all that work you did and all those details just gave a foundation to go the next step. So hats off, because you did a lot of work to get to where you could have this convo with Christine. Super cool. Thank you.
100%. Great observation, Kate. Yeah. You knew everything so granularly because you had written it all out. And so we could just fly through that conversation with a lot of clarity between you and me. So job well done. Job well done. Karen Eileen.
Hello, let me see if I can. Hello. I need a Christine pep talk. I feel like I'm in need of those almost all the time, but especially today. I don't yet have any idea how I'm going to find the bandwidth to look for the gig that will right the ship. All of my energy at the moment is contract working to keep the baseline and keep anything from hemorrhaging. And family caregiver universe things. There's almost nothing left over. So I don't I would love to believe that's going to change. I know you probably believe it's going to change for me, so I can hook into that a little bit. It's very discouraging. It's very discouraging at the moment. It's
Yeah, it's feeling like there's no wiggle room.
There, it, yeah, it, and in fact, it's squished, like, so not, it's so, really tightly packed. So I can turn a little bit, but, there's not movement. I did, some wins. I did apply for a job. I did go ahead and apply to Whole Foods.
Yes.
I just have to tell you, I must have so much resistance that I actually sent them the wrong resume. It wasn't a bad resume. It just was a like speaking teaching resume rather than a customer service resume. So I don't expect them to call me. I'm going to have to reapply with the right resume.
Reapply.
Yeah.
Reapply.
I do have one new voiceover client. It's a casting director who approached me.
Ah.
So I'm doing some new things for her very gently. Sorry, she was the one I talked about a couple of weeks ago where she put me up on the website without telling me she was going to do that. But she's just very new at all this. I mean, I guess it wasn't malicious, so I'm just kind of educating her. But there's I saw a job that I thought was really cool. It just came onto my feed the other day. And it was for the Calm app. So the people at the Calm app are hiring. I love this job. It was for a trainer. And they were like, it's remote, but you have to live in New York, LA, or San Francisco. But it's remote, but you have to be in one of these three cities. So I'm going to apply just because I want to be on their radar. But I don't know. I mean, I'm here tonight. And I can be working in the background, but my energy is like this. I don't.
So, I want you to list for me all of the work projects that you're doing for money right now. Like, and where do they end? Like, are you doing something that,
And
like, I'm doing this, but that stops in January. I'm doing this, and that'll be wrapped up by.
Okay. There's a voiceover training company number one that I work for kind of once a month, really. And it never ends unless I go to
Okay.
them and say I don't want to work for you anymore.
That's fine. Once a month. So
Once
what's
a
the
month. And in addition to for that client, I'm also doing social media reels. So I'm
setup? Okay.
doing, and that never ends unless I go to them and say I don't want to do this anymore. So it's okay at the
And so
moment.
how much time per week is that?
I need to track my time. So let's guesstimate. So let's say that's 2 hours a week for them, in addition to coaching once a month, and let's call that 5 hours total. So 2, 4, 6, 8, 13 hours a month for them.
Okay. And how much are you getting for each reel?
$75 per reel at the moment.
Okay. What else?
Voiceover company number two is kind of my bread and butter right now. The coaching rate is much lower, but they've got a giant sea of students. So I'm can set my own schedule, but I have to figure out how not to burn out even harder. So it tends to be around 10, between 10 and 15 hours a week for them. And I can change that at any time, but I need to find a way to replace that cash if I change it.
And then what else?
And then the new casting director, it's sort of still taking shape, but it looks like three classes a month, which are two, four, so 5 hours of teaching for the month. Let's call it 10 hours with the prep and stuff. So 10 hours for them.
Okay. What else?
That's it at the moment.
Okay. If you were to get the job at Whole Foods, is that part-time, full-time?
They're looking for me to tell them. So I get to tell them when I apply, I only want part-time, I only want full-time.
What
So
would you tell them?
I told them full-time just because I feel like that would be a nice way to give my nervous system a rest. I feel like
Okay.
I'm working on up-leveling, knowing my value as a voiceover coach. I just could be charging a lot more, and the concern about I'm going to release like the lower wages and it'll be chirping crickets until I get my first $2,500 client or my first $5,000 client. So I'm teaching January, February. I'm teaching. That's the other thing to tell you. Coming up, I've been invited back to the university. So that's with commuting and everything. That's 3 hours a week, three, that's 15 hours plus the commuting for 16. So it's like 30 hours spread out over 2 months and it's going to be 5K. So that'll be a nice inflow in January, February.
Okay. If you worked at Whole Foods part-time, which of these things that you've mentioned already, not the university one, but just the other ones, would you stop?
I would pull back on voiceover company number two because that's the one I'm that's burning me out the hardest because it's pretty intense and again the wage is lower. It's still money coming in, but the wage is much lower than I would charge for private. But I don't have the energy to hustle right now for clients. I loved what you said. I loved hearing you work with the first person you talked to, and I just thought, I am too exhausted for my brain to think about golden tickets of any kind. It's a beautiful idea, but I can't. I don't know where the I have to find the energy.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
Can you go since you set your own schedule for that? Can you take 2 weeks off of that? What would that like? Could you not work for them for 2 weeks and then just start working for them again? Or would there be
Yeah.
an issue with that?
No, there, I don't think there would be an issue because there's three of us that do this really tech-specific work that I do, and the other two coaches I think would be happy for the extra hours. I was going to take that time off in December, like holiday, but what I'm trying to avoid doing is taking time off and cramming every second full of work, non-paid work. I'm trying to have a little bit of a break and figure out how to move myself forward for 2024.
Because it sound if and I believe you, I'm not at all, you've got caregiving stuff, you've got keeping your income up stuff, and you need to spend time looking for new employment. So the looking for new employment is something that might have to go on for a little bit, if Whole Foods doesn't take your next resume,
The more updated
right? It'll be
resume.
fun for you to get that job. But let's just say the job search was going to go on. So there has to be a way to fit it in on a regular basis. So it sounds, if I were in your shoes, what I would probably do is once a month, I would take 1 week off of that particular job. And instead of spending 10 to 15 hours that week on that job, I'd spend those 10 to 15 hours applying and looking for other work.
I got you. I love the, and we've talked
And
about.
feeling that the loss. Go ahead.
No, you go. There's a delay,
I
so I don't
love
mean to cut
the.
you off.
That's okay. The loss of that week of income, I would hope would be then just made up with, when I got the job and I was on to regular income. I think that all things considered in your situation, I think that's what has to happen. Something has to open the time up for you to look for the other money. And it doesn't scare me for you to do that because the other thing that has been a pattern is you get these other weird jobs that kind of fall into your lap. So I think the gap, even if you did that for 6 months and it took you 6 months to find the job and you took a month, I mean, a week off every
Every
single month
single.
from that particular job and used that time still. So you're still going to be working as densely as you're working now to find the other job. But I think that my guess is your income over a 6 month period would fill in those gaps with other random weird things that fell into your lap.
Yes, I got that. What this is all mindset stuff, and I'm in the mindset course with the awesome Ruthie. And I know we it's I know it's in there and I know we go over it, but I'm like, how remind me, how do I keep myself buoyed up?
From what? Because there's a different answer depending on what you're asking about.
Really, it's exhaustion because I'm coming at everything is a in a most the most balanced way I can, and it's still exhausting. So
So, what time are you taking off for the holidays? If, what was your plan?
I was gonna give myself, like from the 18th forward. So it's a very generous chunk. And I'm like, I don't know if that's a great idea because of what's going on, but I feel like I so need some kind of break. And it's gonna be a very budgetary break because I don't have money to go traveling around and do all the things this year. That was my general idea, like from the 19th of December till like January 2nd. So maybe 2 weeks, I guess.
And what was your plan for those 2 weeks?
I don't have one yet other than I'm ex very excited to sleep. I'm very excited to try and do something fun over the holidays. I don't know what yet. It's not more concrete yet than that. And I know you have talked and a lot of people have talked about the 1 week off per month for like personal development. So I cannot wait until I'm at the place where I can do. I know now's not the time for that, but I'm sort of forward dreaming for that.
And that can look different because it could be 2 weekends off a month, two fully blocked weekends off a month. No, that can, but regular rejuvenation time. It sounds like you really need some. So I think your plan for the holidays is good, but now we have to discuss. There's three categories. There's sleep slash rest. There's fun. And there's family. So, boundaries around the fun is easier because it'll be something you'll probably choose to do. Okay, I'm going to go do this or a couple things. So the boundaries are clear around that. But the boundaries around the sleep and the rest is what we need to talk about because you're right in the thick of the family. And it will be it if you do not claim your time, it will be claimed by others. It
And
will just disappear.
what does that sound like?
What does it sound like? So you're not going to be able at this year to go away to a hotel or go away to some other location. So how do you put a bubble around a day where you don't want to do anything but be by yourself and sleep and think and drool a little, be a little catatonic and stare at the ceiling or putter or whatever? How do you create that bubble?
It's the best question. The thing that's coming to me is to have a little chat with the family and say this day I want you to pretend I'm not here, that I'm gone for a holiday outing until tomorrow morning, and I'll see you then. And because of the nature of some of the things going on with some of the family members, I'm gonna need to like put up a little sign maybe on the door. Gone till Tuesday morning, or gone till, whatever that is. I could do that. I could make the sign cute, you know.
Will you?
Will I make the sign cute?
No, will you make the sign and put it on the door and actually do it?
Yes. I feel like that's not no, I feel like that for some reason that doesn't feel hard to do at all.
How much time do you want to spend with your family? Dedicated, like Chris, like Hanukkah or the Christmas or however your family does it, like, are there certain days where you just know you're going to be like available for the family?
Yeah, there, I mean, there, I, yeah.
How many are there? When are there?
God. Well, Hanukkah, they celebrate Hanukkah and I celebrate Christmas. So
Okay.
Hanukkah is like one major day or two major days. It's coming up. It's this week.
Oh, so
So
it's
that's it.
before your.
It's before the break. Yeah.
Okay, that's handy
Yeah.
scheduling wise. So what I'm asking is, what are your family's expectations of your availability
I
during this
have
2 week period?
no idea. I haven't even told them that I'm taking the 2 weeks off, but I think they probably assume I will be available every moment I'm in the house and awake and not teaching. So, so
So there's no technical holiday requirements. Do
no.
you feel like you would, what would work best? Like, would it work best for you to be like, here's the 2 days of Christmas where it's family time and I'm out and about and talking with them and helping with them and eating with them and we go out to eat or whatever. Like you are active participants in their life. And then you can crawl away for 3 more days alone.
You're asking if that's possible or if I
Yeah. I'm asking, like, what is possible around the boundaries of I am here for you, and now I am not here for you.
I feel a little stumped. I don't know what's
Okay,
possible.
think about it. If it needs to be that clearly delineated, it might, or it might be you're out and available, doors open between the hours of 9 to noon every day, not after. This is about you claiming your sovereign, sacred rejuvenation time so that you can go into the next quarter of the year. And if you do not claim it, you will not get the deep rest that you are craving. If you don't, you have to ask yourself, what am I craving right now? And then give it to yourself over these 2 weeks. That's what you're spending your money on.
Yes.
Giving yourself the deep rest that you are so craving.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And if you make the boundaries porous, you're not going to feel rested because you'll be chipped away at and randomly. I'm not saying your parents will command all your attention all day long, but if it's spontaneous and random and like interrupting, that is herky jerky. Deep rest is about, it's not just about sleeping. It's about solitude. It's about letting your mind not think about anything.
That's right.
It's about the breath of nothingness that you're so craving right now. It's not about life as usual. It can't be these are 2 weeks where it's just I'm not working and so I'm just available and it's up here never won't
That's right.
work. And then you'll
Correct.
start the new year and be like, I did not get what I needed.
Yeah, I don't. I'd rather a very different start to the year.
So I want you to first, step one, define what you need, how much of it you need, probably a lot. Step two, decide how you're going to get what you need. And then step three, make the signs, have the conversations, whatever needs to happen for you to get what you need. You can do this. I don't think you've ever done it as starkly and deeply as I'm asking you to do it, as I'm challenging you to experiment with. No one will die. I promise everyone will be alive January 1st, at least They won't die from what you're implementing.
Oh my God.
Everyone will be fine. I know. Dilute the thoughts to the whatever, but how I'm going to say it starkly. Yeah, everyone's going to be fine because you got a little rest.
Okay. Yeah. And if I'm not sure what the answers to those questions are, because the steps are really clear, is it just about sitting in quiet until I get the discernment? Okay.
Yeah. Even if you have to take January 19th, the first day of your breathing room, to
Oh,
then
okay.
do your plan for the
Just,
2 weeks, that's fine.
ah, got it. I feel
Yeah.
like that. I feel like I'll be, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'll have, got it.
But if
Okay.
you don't do it the 19th and then you don't do it the 20th, then it's going to be the 31st before you know it.
Got it. Okay, super helpful, Christine.
Okay,
Thank you.
good.
Yeah.
Good. Doing good work, Karen, I mean.
Thank
And you can do this, by the way. You can 100% do this. You can 100% do it.
the whole thing, you mean, or just the
All of it,
rest? Are
every single
you...
thing, all of it.
Okay,
The 2 weeks, the job search, taking
Ugh.
off, all of
Yeah.
it. You can do it. And send in another application to Whole Foods
Very
so
funny.
their
Yes.
AI bot can file you in the right drawer.
Place. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Karen? Am I pronouncing that
That
correctly?
correctly? Yes, that's correct. Thank you for holding this session. I'm sorry I wasn't able to come at the beginning, but I heard you
Okay.
talk about something called the golden ticket, and that really interested me. Could you please briefly summarize what the golden ticket is? It's to me, it sounds like putting your eggs in the basket that will potentially get you the most rather than putting your eggs in just as many baskets as you can find. Is that correct?
No,
No,
that's
that's.
not correct. Oh, there is a deep echo. Okay, I'm not hearing it anymore. That's not correct. But the principle you just said would be something worth discussing. But the golden ticket, what it basically was, is instead of putting, she was going to put her services on sale. Like, hey guys, I'm putting a sale 25% off. And for certain businesses, putting something on sale cheapens what you're offering. So I suggested instead of her announcing a sale, she tells the people on her list, I am giving you a golden ticket. And this golden ticket is worth $75 off of any of my classes. So it's like, oh, she's giving them money. It's just a subtle semantic shift instead of having to be like putting things on sale or discounting your prices.
Got it.
That's
That
what
makes a
that
lot of
was.
sense. And this is a
Yeah.
very beginner, I guess, business owner question, but like I've
Okay.
been getting hung up on the idea of starting an LLC and like setting that up first before I just start doing the work. And I've heard both sides, and I just wanted to know your opinion on like what's you would suggest someone to do, like just start working as a sole proprietor, and then once you make enough money, build that like legal entity, or should you do it from the get-go?
Especially if it's a side business. You only want to spend money on a side business when you really need to spend money on a side business. So getting help to set up an LLC costs money, actually filing the stuff costs money, and then you pay a little bit extra, and then it's kind of a hassle every year extra. For a side thing, you don't need that at the start, just because it's extra time and money. I ran my whole organizing business and I didn't have an LLC. I had a business checking account and a separate credit card. And then people just gave me money and then I put money into my account. And then I took
Okay,
the
yeah,
money
that
out
was
of my
going to be
account.
my follow-up. So thank you for bringing that up of
Yeah.
the checking account situation. So the checking account is just at your regular banking, like wherever you do your personal banking, and you just opened a second checking account. Okay,
Yeah.
that makes a lot of sense.
And it was just in my name. It wasn't even a fancy DBA business, didn't have my business name on the credit card. It was just a separate credit card and a separate checking account because all the IRS wants you to prove is that you're keeping your money separate.
Got it. Thank you.
And that's, they just don't want it to be all mishy-mosh together. So
That
you
makes sense.
yeah, so that's like the baseline. That's the baseline. And I operated for 17 years like that.
Got it. So you have the checking account, the debit card, I'm assuming, and
Credit
then the
card,
credit
credit card.
card. Oh, so
I
the
don't use a
debit.
debit card, but you, sure, you could have a debit card if you wanted.
Oh, okay.
But
So you
just
just never use your debit card.
no. Yeah, just
Oh.
credit, 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 pay the credit card bill. Credit, 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 pay the credit card bill.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That was very helpful.
Oh, good. Yeah. Ileana.
Hi, Christine. I have a quick mindset question about like energy leaks around like water cooler talk at work, honestly. I have heard you mention this before, but it would be so helpful to get a refresher. I am still sort of at the beginning of this new job, and one of the things that is new about it is that I haven't really had coworkers before in this way. And you know, everyone's lovely. It's a really lovely group of people, and I love them all. And sometimes the conversation drifts into this place where it's just sort of a like men are from Mars, women are from Venus conversation, but it goes on a long time, and I find myself getting really frustrated, and it like sticks in my head late in, like I'm walking around my apartment at night, like fighting back in a conversation that I didn't say anything in. And I'm really not like interested, you know, when the conversations come up, it's all good natured and again, like really not problematic necessarily most of the time, but like I just sit quietly. And usually I like actually open an NPR article just to like give myself something else to do. But like it really has been sticking in my head a little bit, and I'm trying to figure out how to just sort of like either like unplug my brain better in the moment, or let myself, I don't know, just a different way of dealing with it. It's conversation that's happening in the room, so it's not like I can leave and come back. It's like interspersed with working in a way that I can't kind of avoid it. So yeah, any guidance there would be very helpful. Thank you.
So, what are the thoughts going on in your mind that make you feel the agitation and the
I think it's this is stupid comes up a lot. Just like this is dumb. This is pointless. What good would this possibly do? How does this help the world? How does this help other people? There's also a lot of like buying, it's very binary. It's very like men are this, women are this. I'm like, there are people that are women are men. A lot of it drifts into sort of like dating advice or talking territory. And it's also very like men want this, women want this. And I don't date men right now. And so there's a little bit of a like, I don't want to get into all of that with you people. I don't know. So I think it feels unhelpful and regressive. And that's, I think, why I'm getting wound up.
you're like having the conversation with them just all up inside your head.
I guess
And then
so.
you take them home from work. I know. I used to have my parents at yoga class all the time in my head. I'm like, okay, this is ridiculous. Why would I take my parents to yoga class? I'm supposed to be like just doing yoga. So, what could be something else you could think? Not a BS thought that you're like, oh, look at you, life is blah, blah. Nothing that your mind will like, well, that's not as interesting as or compelling as what's going on here. But what's something else that would ground you and enable you to just let that roll off your back?
That's a really good question. Maybe just like I don't need this conversation. Like this conversation's not for me. Maybe This sounds ungenerous, but this sort of, you talked about like sometimes when you're angry at somebody, it's better to just take a step towards pity. And it's like, oh, they don't know. It's sad that they don't know. Yeah, I feel like something about like this is not a conversation for me. It's helpful. Like I happen to be sitting here right now, but that's not a conversation for me.
Okay. Yes. That's exactly what you want to be saying. I'm going to give you two sentences. It'll be more fun for you, though.
Thank you.
This is not my circus, and these are
Ooh.
not my monkeys. This is not my circus. These are not my monkeys. Moving, I don't even need to. My husband says this all the time. That's where I got it from. He's like, this is not my circus. Like, okay, I'm gonna, yeah, because I like those phrases because it gives it a bit of the ridiculous and it lets you be a little catty to yourself, just like, without fuck this shit, because that's still invested. This is not my circus. You're not invested in it at all. And it's like a circus of nonsense.
I
And
really
these are
like
my
that.
monkeys. And I pity whoever these monkeys are, because that's unfortunate that you would have these monkeys. Like, just, yeah. And the thing for everyone listening, like going from being angry at somebody to pity, if you can just pity them, pity takes less energy. And then having compassion takes even less energy. But pity's good. It's like, oh, well, that's unfortunate. They have a lot to learn.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's really, really helpful. That's like so much less gripping. That's really great.
And then for when you're driving home or at home and you habitually just kind of replay a little bit, that you just go, oh, I'm just so happy I don't have to listen to that anymore. Crank up some music, light a candle, like just, but that's a great thought. I'm so happy I don't have to listen to that anymore.
That's so nice. That's
Not my circus, that's not my monkeys.
maybe that's
Try it.
so
Try it. Now, the first time you do it, your brain will maybe want to crawl back over there. Because you get a little bit of righteous dopamine hit.
sure
That's
do.
what's happening over there with your, oh, they're so, you're feeling all righteous. And it feels so, righteousness is a drug. It feels so good to be like, I am morally superior. But that's just extra energy. Yeah. So when your brain crawls over to righteousness, you just pull it back and go, not our circus. We don't need to be under that tent right now. And then when you're home and your brain's like, what about that thing he said? You're like, oh, no, it's so good that we do not have to listen to that anymore. Yeah. So try that.
Thank you.
And let me know, yeah, how that
Thank you. That's
works.
really
But
helpful.
I'm sorry. I know. It's just, oh my God. I worked at a, my first job out of college was at a mom and pop kind of Xerox shop. And it was like my first, like, 5 days a week job. And the conversation was just the fucking the same every single week. Oh, it's Monday. Oh, Tuesday, hump day, Wednesday. Oh, what are you going to do on Thursday? Was what are you going to do on the weekend? And Friday was like, thank God it's Friday. And it was just like this song that we just, and I was just like, I've got to get out of, I will die if this is my life. Like, what's happening? Yeah. So yours is worse. This is just annoying out of the repetition and the boredom. Yours is an upper level, but also unfortunately something you're going to have, you will encounter this in this industry that you're working in more than once, so it's good to have a way to just not give it any energy.
It's really, I really appreciate the, like, I'm so grateful that I don't have to have that conversation, like, that I don't have to listen to that anymore, because I realized how silly it was that I was like frustrated about it in the room and then taking it home to my home and being frustrated again. Yeah, I really, that helps a lot. And I think there's sometimes I'm like, it's my duty to educate, but then I don't want to. So it's not, right?
No, just ask any other person of color. It's like, Not your job.
I won't. Okay, great. Amazing. I will not give myself that extra job.
And what it really is like, oh, I will save that using my energy for that in a better forum. Not
When people actually
this one.
want to listen. Yeah.
Yeah, not with these little monkeys. No.
Okay.
How is the driving going?
A lot better. Last week was my first full week of driving. So 10 drives last week, morning and night. And I actually listened to the Feeding Your Focus audiobook on the
Wow,
trip.
my voice just numbed you right out. That's good.
Very comforting, and it's been really nice. And I do feel like I'm getting the hang of it, and the just acceptance. Death acceptance, death acknowledgement helped a lot. So thank you.
Yeah, you, hey, anytime I can help you embrace your own possibility of dying, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Thank you, Ileana. Good to hear from you. Jen.
I just wanted to do like a 30-second win or celebration. I'm not I'm practicing being a person that is good at invoicing. And so I sent out an invoice for a job that I did a couple of weeks ago. And well, I reached out to find out what was happening, and they were like, it was a lost in the shuffle. So I sent them my invoice. And then I wrote my little teaching blurb that I will be putting on places. And this week I'm going to be on set, like an on-set coach for cello, which I love doing as well. I don't, the work just sometimes comes up. And so at least like I have that in case anybody's like, oh, like my kid plays a cello, is looking for a teacher, you know? So like I feel good that at least I have that ready to go if I meet anybody on set. Yeah. So
Congratulations.
thank you.
Yeah. So what are you doing on set?
So one thing I do love is coaching actors to play, to like fake play the
Look like
cello.
me.
And so, I worked on a show in May doing that. And then, they had a couple days left before the strike. I mean, the strike with, the writer's strike affected them. And then, so they are picking it up for 3 days. And I wasn't thinking they would need me because the actor they hired is actually a cellist, but they still want me, which is great. And so I will be there.
Nice. Oh, what a
Yeah.
fun little job. Yeah.
Yeah, it's something in the, I would love to like do that work more, but I feel like I'm already like in the mix for that. So I don't really know how to increase that without just putting it out there. So, which I've done. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could do a billboard on Sunset, but
Always,
imagine.
always. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Anybody else? We have 5 minutes. Lives can change in 5 minutes. Or are we good? I don't want to pressure. No pressure. Taryn. Taryn.
Yes. Thank you again for allowing me to ask a question. When you moved from that mind space of working for an employer, like being a W-2 employee, to taking that leap to being your own boss, what was the mindset that you had to take on to take yourself seriously before you jumped out into the world and convinced other people or embodied what you wanted to put out into the world?
That is actually a difficult question for me to answer. So I'm actually going to open it up to everybody on this call because there are people on this call who, especially Helen, who had to kind of go through that arc. The reason that's hard for me to answer is I am a person who kind of always took myself seriously, like from the get-go. Like my parents are not in the industry, and when I was so early on, like I'm going to be an actor, and I just took myself very seriously, even though my parents were like, "Well, not when you're a kid, you're not going to be an actor." They're like, "You can do whatever you want once you graduate college." So I couldn't, but I did everything I could to learn about acting. And then I went to college and learned some more. And then I came out of college and man, but I had the mindset of like, I am an actor. And when I was working that first job at the Xerox place, making copies for people, I wasn't a girl working at a Xerox place who one day hoped she was an actor. I was an actress who just happened to be working at a Xerox place. So I've always had it within me to just take myself very seriously. So when I decided that I was going to start my little organizing side business, I was like, heck yeah, I can do this. I bet I didn't really know if I could, but I thought I could. And I just printed up a business card and started taking it seriously. What's good though about that question is that that is required. It just is required for you to take it seriously. But Taryn, what, give me a little bit about your history. Like, are you pursuing a creative career? Or you have another career? Like, what's going on with you?
Yeah, so I graduated in 2020 and I thought I was going to try working in the creative industry as an art historian. So I am a visual artist as well, but that just seemed to be potentially the more safe route, especially during the pandemic. It was not, because all the museums were laying art historians off with like PhDs, and I only had an MA at that point, and they were definitely not taking anybody below a PhD. So that's why I have been working in the communications industry for 2 years at an arts nonprofit, and it's really soul-sucking work. So I just put in my resignation this month. So I'm undergoing a huge shift.
Oh my gosh, congratulations.
Yeah, an impulsive thing. I have another side gig lined up where I'm helping a friend run a fashion business. Thank you, Eliana, for the congratulations. But I know that this isn't going to be forever because it's still marketing and that's just not where my heart's at, even though I'm more than happy to help her and I have more passion helping her than the nonprofit. And I also am going to be getting a $1,000 check from one of my fellowships that I'm finishing up in December. So I have two and a half months in like money that I have with the side gig. And I also have a third thing, which is I just started being a workshop artist at my local library. But even though I'm a hustler, I still can't support myself. I still live with my parents. And that's a really big pain point for me, is I don't want to be stuck in this pain cycle that Miata talks about so much about. I work hard, but I'm not making enough money. So that's why I'm really taking the risk in January to open my own business or studio to start selling my visual arts, because I was going through a really big creative block these past 3 years because of the pandemic. And now I'm ready to just start pulling myself up on my bootstraps and just making my art, putting it out there and letting the people decide if they like it or not. And I made already a plan that if nothing sells in 3 to 6 months, I'm going to stop that and look full time for a full time job. But the thing is, that's crazy, is even though I stopped and I resigned, I'm still looking and applying to full-time jobs right now because I'm just so desperate. So as you can see, my energy is in so many places. And it's not because I have a lot of energy. I'm really pulling from reserves, and I'm already burned out right now. And I already am anticipating that I'm going to be more burned out, but I'm just putting kind of all my eggs in like, in the baskets that I have that are new, that I'm just really hoping will work out.
Why are we talking about this right now? We have like a minute left, because I'm one, so excited for you. Two, have so much respect for you. Three, I want to say you have to give yourself a break in understanding that we live in very strange economic times, and it has been nothing but instability since you graduated college. I mean, but even before then, but certainly 2020, 21. I mean, it's just been instability. We're going into an election year, more instability, AI's on the scene.
Yeah, every single day I think, should I just get out of the art industry and become like a CPA or like a, you know, a tax person? Like every day I think about it.
You can always do that. But you're an artist, and unfortunately, there's the bad news. Your soul is like, no, this is what we want to do in this lifetime. Okay, but let's be realistic. You're not living with your parents because you made some really bad decisions in your life. It's like, no. This is sort of the times we're living in now. I understand you want to get out of that. I had to live with my parents briefly after college, and it was like, oh my God, let's get out of here. So I understand, but you're not in the position you're in because of a series of bad decisions you made. So be kinder to yourself and know two things. One, you have the smarts and the skills to get yourself out of this situation eventually, and you're taking action to do that. That's all you can do. You have the ability, and you're taking action on that ability. That's all you can do. And you're here talking to people like me and Miata. You are so in the right spot doing all the right things.
Thanks. It does feel like, because we're living in this time, that I'm just floundering and swimming in circles and digging myself deeper in a hole that I can't get out of. But you're right. You gave me a reality check that, like, these are really weird times. And I just need to not let it get to me, or get me down.
Yes, because when you're going through times like these, you're building your muscles. And that is a muscle. Every muscle you build is a muscle you have for the rest of your life. The rest of your life. So I have a question for you. What made you know that you are a visual artist? It doesn't matter what job you have. You know that you are a visual artist.
Yeah. And
how did you?
I can tell you, through the COVID, through my depression, you know, that I got mainly during COVID, I was still writing ideas about art. And even though I was so depressed and I couldn't hardly do anything and make things because of just, I couldn't go out to buy materials or what have you, I wrote down hundreds of ideas. And the only thing stopping me, I tried every other avenue of my creative milieu of art history, writing articles, scholarly, applying to curatorial things. And just, it's because of the closed doors too, that I can't control. Like, that's just how the industry is right now for me and where I'm at. So a part of me is like, I had always doubted the visual arts the most, because that's what historically family and society deems as the most unsuccessful. So now that I've exhausted the art history route, which was supposed to be a little more stable, which it's equally not, a part of me is just like, F it. There's nothing to lose at this point, because I've already put so much into something that has not given back, that, like, I gotta do it. I have to prove it to myself. If I fail, I fail, but I can't say that I did it if I never tried.
Correct. Why are you able to take yourself so seriously as an artist?
It's because I realize I have no other choice than to take myself seriously or never be an artist again. Like, I'm at that cliff point where it's like, I either take myself seriously for once, or I don't. I never do. And I just close that door and never look back at it again.
Right. Okay. So you are able, and you have made the decision to do that as an artist. You take that same juice and you do that as a side business person. Fuck it. I'm going to just take myself seriously, because why not try? Why not try?
You're right. And I've been holding myself back because I've been stingy to my artist. I don't want to buy a studio or a little space. I don't want to, like, yeah, put more money into something when I already have so little to invest, or, like, I've been trying to save as much to move out, but that's not going to happen anytime soon. So I should just invest my money in something that, yeah, it might be a pit, but I haven't tried this yet. So if I can afford it, I should do it.
Yeah. And we can have a strategy conversation. Like, if you show up if you can show up next cash flow session, which is on the 17th, we can talk a little bit more because I'd like to know, there might be some good things about you living with your parents that allows you to do other things with your time and your money. So you might be in actually the best place for you to be right now. Did you go away?
No, I'm here. It's just dark. Sorry. I'm still here.
That's okay. I just think she disappeared. So it would be interesting to talk about the options and the wiggle room that you have to give more space to your artist. And I'd also like to talk to you about how to go about setting up the selling your art stuff so that it gives you the best shot.
Sounds good. Thank you. I will definitely come on time that time on 17th of December.
Yeah. Send the, fill out the form. You don't have to put what you want to talk about. Just go, it's me, Taryn, from last time. Let's talk.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
I'll put that in the questions that you can put in.
Perfect. Before. All you have to do is just like remind me. Yes.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. You're welcome. I'm glad we met and had this time to talk. Hey, everybody, that's our time. So hope to see you back on the 17th. Welcome to December. Can you believe it? I can't. But here we are. Bye. Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Thank you.
Anybody has words of advice for Taryn, you can send it to her on the community.
Yep.
Yeah.
I put the link in the chat for submitting questions, Taryn, if that helps you. Bye.
Thanks,
everybody.
Kate. Bye.
Bye, Ruthie. Hi, June.
Hi, bye.